Mr. Sherlock, Reel 1, could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Sherlock?
I was born in Morpeth, in Northumberland, on the 29th of May, 1917.
And what did your father do for a living?
He's a brick manufacturer.
Was he involved in the First World War at all?
No, he didn't fight in the First World War. He made munitions in Vickers Armstrong.
And how many were there in your family, brothers and sisters?
Three. I had one brother and one sister.
And was it a comfortable childhood you had? Were you reasonably well off in Morpeth?
No, we weren't reasonably well off. We were reasonably well off until I was about 7 or 8 years of age. And then my father's brickworks folded up. And from then on, my father was never actually employed until for a short while during the Second World War. We were kept by my mother, who did dressmaking.
Did that affect your... That must have affected your standard of living a lot. Did you have to move house?
Sorry?
Did you have to move house and generally lower your...
No, we were fortunate. We lived in a small house in Morpeth, a very nice little house, which belonged to my uncle. And we had, I think, a fairly reasonable sort of rent. And we were able to stay there. So there was no problem, as far as that's concerned. And I wouldn't say we were ever short of anything. We weren't.
Now, what about your education? What was your first school?
I won a scholarship from the elementary school to Morpeth King Edward VI Grammar School. And I had quite a reasonably good education.
Was there anything you specialised in or were particularly interested in?
I don't think so, educationally, although I was always very fond of music. I sang, wouldn't think so now, but I did. I can't say cool now. And I mean, I was very good at music at school, and the one thing I did excel in was take part in opera from, as in the church choir. And then when I grew up, I was singing quartets. I actually sang Handel and things like that. But anyway, that's just part of it.
What about sport? Any interest in that?
Well, I was moderate in sport. I sort of reached the second team in rugby and cricket. But my favourite sport was tennis. And I played tennis at a reasonable level, you know, sort of captaining the local tennis team, the thing, until I was about 45 or thereabouts. And then I took up golf.
And what about, well, did they have an OTC, an Officers Training Corps, at the King Edward VI?
Yes, yes, they had a cadet corps, yes.
Did you join it?
Yes.
Well, how was it organised there, do you remember?
Well, there were three officers, the senior of which was the deputy headmaster. And asked if I can remember the other two were, but I remember there were three officers. And it was completely on a voluntary basis. You either liked to be in the cadets or you didn't.
What made you decide to join?
I've no idea, really. I think I just thought it would be a good thing.
And what was the training you got?
Oh, largely drill and marches. We did a little bit of sort of learning how to use a compass and things like that. It wasn't very brilliant, I wouldn't think.
Did you actually get any rifle shooting, that sort of thing?
Yes, we did a little bit.
but not a lot.
There was a range on the current bombers which we used, and we did go for rifle training up there. I don't remember going there in the how many years I've been in Kirk, but I think my last 2 years of school. And I don't think I went there more than 3 or 4 times during that period.
So not terribly useful, really, in that sense, military.
I don't think my cadet corps training really had any impact at all.
Did you do the Cert A, or were you working towards the Certificate A, the sort of off the...
No. No. It was still in the cadet corps with no sort of future at all. I think it's what it would influence those chaps who went to university and went into OTCs.
Did you go on camp at all with the OTC?
There was a camp, but I never went to it, as it happens.
Now, what year did you leave school, or how old were you, to look at it the other way?
I was 16. I was about to take my A-levels, as a matter of fact, and didn't, because at the time, and that was 1933, and jobs were very difficult at the time, but the recession, and the state was just coming into our household when it needed somebody to make some money. I got the opportunity for a job, and I went and was employed in the offices of one of the local company companies.
As a clerk?
Yes.
And how long did you do that for? Till the war?
Till I went into the army.
So what did, were the duties just basic clerking?
It just so happened that I did it more than basic clerking, because as soon as I joined, I also started studying the examinations of the Chartered Institute of Secretaries. And after I'd done something like a couple of years, I suppose, perhaps, as a wages clerk, I then started, as it were, bookkeeping and accounting. And I were fortunate enough to be taking over 2 small colliery companies, very tiny ones. And I took over the accounting for those 2 small collieries, which was good practice.
What was your firm called? Your actual
Shoppington Collieries Limited. Shoppington Collieries Limited. And when the war came along,
had you thought of joining? I mean, the situation up to 1939 was the international situation. Had you thought much about it before the war broke out? I mean, were you aware of the rise of Hitler, of the threat from Germany, this sort of thing?
Oh, yes. I was very much aware of the sort of political situation, the general situation, for 2 particular reasons. One was that I had a friend at the office who was a good linguist. He was very keen on German. He made some friends with young Germans who were then coming to this country. And it was quite apparent from the conversations we started, and this was around about 1937, 8, 9, that there was a very nasty situation brewing up. And we were all very conscious of that. And then in 1938, I took him to my head to cycle to London, which was about 3 miles away. And that was at the time that Mr. Chamberlain came to Downing Street and said he'd made peace.
The Munich Crisis.
Yeah. And I happened to be in London at that time. So, we were very conscious of the war.
Did you ever think of joining the Territorials at that time?
I think, to be perfectly honest, I don't remember. I think the possibility is that I would discuss it with my friends, and we would decide one way or the other, you know. If one of us had said we'd go, we all have gone. You know. But I didn't anyway. I didn't.
Now, so what do you remember about the day war broke out, or that, week? And
I was in church, and the sirens went at 11 o'clock in the morning. I just don't remember an awful lot about that, except that particular thing. We were, I was standing singing in the choir when the sirens went at 11 o'clock.
And how did the outbreak of war affect your life? I mean, between then and when you joined up in February 1940, did you know you were going to go into the armed forces?
Well, I just before the war broke out, I joined as a special constable. And so I got one or two little jobs on that account in jobbing in itself.
What were they?
But it was my brother, who in fact was called up just, he was the age, he was called up just before war broke out. And he went into the RAF. So that I merely resigned myself to the idea that I would go as soon as anybody said so.
And what did you have to do as a special constable then, Incha? What did you have to do as a special constable?
Oh, we just sort of walked the streets with a constable at night. Nothing very exciting, but I remember.
Did you have a uniform?
I don't think I ever had one. I would have had one if I had a war. I hadn't been called. I don't think I ever had one, no.
So you
had a band on my arm.
So you were doing that, and you also were working at the Choppington Colliery Limited. Now, was that wasn't that a reserved occupation?
I think if my employers had decided that they really wanted me, they could have had me. But in any case, I think, so far as I remember, my friends and I, we had decided that we would fight against that. We would go. I went called.
So what happened when you were called? That what was the procedure for your call up? What was the first thing that happened?
Just received a letter and went and reported.
Where did you report to?
Well, yes, I do remember now. I was called up into the Royal Army Pay Corps at Ashford in Middlesex.
Ashford
in Middlesex. And I was told to report straight there. I went down there. And,
so you'd be called up as a private in the Royal Army Pay Corps?
That's right, just a private in the Royal Army. And
did you have to do any basic training before you reported to Ashford?
No.
So you
just went straight there.
And what happened when you got there?
We were put into private billets in Ashford. And then learnt how to record army pay and one thing another. Just a sheer clerical job. We did learn how to drill a little bit, not very much, just sufficient to make us look slightly like soldiers. And indeed I managed during that period play a lot of tennis for the army.
At what level?
Well, we used to play anybody else who played. We played Boston for nights. The next door to Westford, Brickhall, this was a large Boston. We used to play a team from there. We used to play a team from anywhere that turned.
Now, what exactly, how were your duties, if you don't mind, just quickly running through how the Army Pay Corps system worked? Do you remember what you had to do?
Well, it wasn't a lot different from being in a 9-to-5 job in an office. Like all Army establishments, they also tried to entertain you in the evenings, or find something which would be busy. So we used to have amateur dramatics and concerts and things like this. And of course, we did a certain amount of drill, but it was very minimal. We used to have to do, because we had to learn a lot of regulations related to army pay. I can't remember much how we did that. As far as I remember, the staff sergeant used to get us around and tell us what was new, give us bits of paper, and we read it. Of course, the majority of chaps who were in the pay corps then were like myself, chaps who'd been in an office and could do clerical work, or used to clerical work. And they used to reading instructions and so on. Obviously, thick for that reason.
I mean, how did you settle in your billets? I mean, any problems with the locals?
Well, the first billet I had was a couple who were vegetarians. That wasn't my idea, but anyway, I used to get nettle soup and lots of things like that. But I've never been very difficult about food. I just eat what's in front of me. They were very kind to me, actually, and they used to let me just go into the sitting room and play the piano. I wasn't very good at it anyway, but they didn't seem to mind. So it wasn't a bad place, but they comfortable. And then I made a particular friend, a chap who had been a sub-editor on the Yorkshire Post, and he was in a village somewhere else, so we organised them and it was a different village. That was very comfortable too. But there was no real problem, and it was not more comfortable than being in barracks.
Now, you were there a year until 1941. Yes. Did you feel like getting more involved in the active side of the war? I mean, would you have been happy to live out the war in the pay corps, or did you have a wanting to go somewhere else, or how did you feel about it all?
I think we had a sneaking idea that we weren't really making a very great contribution. Quite a number of us were quite keen to get into the fighting. Yes. And I think we all also knew, those of us who were A1 and were fit, that we wouldn't stay there very long anyway. But we only stayed in Ashford about 7 months, 8 months. And we were shunted up to London. And we lived in billets there, but they were quite different billets from the National.
What was different about them?
Well, they were bombing London at the time, weren't they? And our offices were in Curzon Street. And I was billeted in Portland Place. And we have the usual sort of tales that anybody can tell of being in Richmond, and, you know, times when we got bits of shrapnel through the window and on the bed, being blown down the area and side streets and so on. It wasn't a very pleasant time to be in London. And we were there over the Christmas. And then I think it was the January, it might have been the beginning of February, when I was suddenly asked, told that I would be sent to an infantry regiment.
As a private? As a private?
I was asked which one I'd like to go to. And I remember saying I'd like to go to number one, the Northumberland Fusiliers, because that's where I lived. Number two, the Highland Light Infantry, and I can't think why. I can't think what number three was. Anyway, the Durham Light Infantry wasn't in the store, but that's where I sent.
Why wasn't it? Because, I mean, the DLI are quite closely linked with Newcastle and, you know...
Well, I suppose that... I just didn't think of it at all, really. I had an uncle who was a colonel in the Northumberland Fusiliers, so that I naturally thought of them first. I don't know... My father was Scots, I suppose, perhaps I thought I ought to be in a Scots regiment, and so I said that. And as I say, I did put a third one in, I can't think what it was. I'm sure it wasn't the VLI, though, because I remember thinking, well, it didn't really matter what you said. I was pleased to be there because I had great affection for Durham. That uncle, which I've given you there, he was for quite a long time a seedsman in Durham, and I used to go there as a small boy for holidays, and I knew Durham very well. And so it was a fortuitous and confidential that I got there.
So what happened when you where were you sent to train with them?
Bransford. Straight to Bransford. And
where were you accommodated at Bransford?
In barracks.
Were they'd been built by then?
Bransford. Not at the castle, there were barracks were in the other side, but they were actually at Bransford.
The other side of the road?
That's right.
And what were the barracks like? Because that'd be your first time in barracks, wouldn't it?
Well, I had nothing to compare them with. I suppose at barracks they were all right. They weren't bad barracks. But for me, they weren't terribly comfortable. Lay on three biscuits on the floor and two or three blankets. Washing and shaving and so on was a cold business.
And how
I don't think that I was, I didn't feel I was being getting serious hardships at all.
How were you received when you arrived? I mean, how did they organise you? Because you weren't joining a battalion then, you were just going to...
We were organised in huts, and I think we had a sergeant in charge of each hut. Sometimes it was a cook, sometimes a sergeant. I think we had a sergeant in charge of that.
Do you remember yours?
20 of us in that, something like that.
And so you were a little squad for that sergeant?
That's right.
Do you remember your sergeant?
No, I cannot. Quite differently, I can't remember.
And
in fact, I was perfectly honest. I could only think of the name of one fellow in that hood at the minute.
Who was that?
His name was Ferry. Ferry. Colin Ferry. And I don't know whether he's alive or dead now, but I just do it for life and remember.
How did you get on with your batch of 20? I mean, without, I know, you, I mean, did you fit in well? Were they from the same sort of background as yourself?
No, I don't think I did fit in well, really. Apart from this chap coming very, they were mainly Durham miners. And well, that had nothing to do with miners, because I'd worked for a college. I hadn't spent my leisure time with miners. And so the sorts of things that they wanted to do or I wanted to do were quite incompatible.
Could you give us some examples, just to what sort of differences were there?
Well, I was always happy to, when we were off duty, to go and walk in the country or go and rowboat on the river or something of that sort, or go and listen to music. So, these chaps weren't interested at all. They wanted to go booting, play games, and so would I, but I don't remember that we had very much opportunity of playing games. Even
did you not drink then at the time, or did you just not go boozing? See what I mean?
I certainly never drank before the war. When I was down in Ashford, I remember a couple of occasions being wheeled into having a half pint of beer, but I didn't like it. So at that stage, I didn't really drink. but within a year or so, I was drinking with the rest.
Now, you sometimes when people stand out a bit in a group, you know, like perhaps you and Ferry did, they get bullied. Either by the people they're with or by the NCO, who's probably, you know. Did you have any problem with that side of things?
Not at Bransford. At Bransford, I don't know. I think the answer to that was that when you're in a training, you first hear that, you're so busy, and has so much to do, and you're so tired when the end of the day comes, that really you can't be bothered bullying somebody. But I did have some trouble once I got to the 40th.
We'll come back